You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Hey there, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Wisconsin Sports Heroics Podcast on the Packernet Podcast Network. My name is Sam Holman, and I'm here with my co-host, McQuaid Arnold. McQuaid, how are you doing?
I am doing outstanding. Glad to be back. This podcast is kind of starting to take wind, and people are talking about it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't counted how many episodes in, but we are. But I would imagine it's probably at least 10, maybe. 10, 15, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 10, 15, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's been a lot of fun, good experience, and I feel like we're getting some good topics, getting some good discussion. But today, we are going to do our mailbag. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of questions this week, but we'll go over what we have. And then maybe we'll just kind of cover some of the main storylines that have been going on throughout training camp. Some of the stuff that we haven't already covered in our most recent episode. But yeah, I figure we'll just start with the questions here. And should get through those. So first, these are all come from Facebook responses to my kind of my request for questions. First one is from Chris Gajdostic. He says, last year, Odell Beckham was signed by the Rams in Week 10. If the Packers find themselves desperate for a veteran wide receiver, who are some quality wide receivers you foresee becoming available due to a fallout with their team or their team unperforming? So, McQuaid, just kind of with that, I mean, it sounds like I took this as either someone who could be cut, someone who could be traded by the trade deadline, that sort of thing. What are some names that come to mind for you?
So, the first one that I thought about immediately was I went to the New York Jets roster, right? Because they all off season long, they have been kind of in Green Bay situation where they need to add wide receivers and they need to do it in a hurry. They did it in the draft by drafting Garrett Wilson, and they were obviously in the Tyreek Hill sweepstakes. That didn't really work out. But now all of a sudden you look at their roster and I'm not going to say they're stacked at the wide receiver position, but they have a decent amount. So looking at their depth chart, they've got Elijah Moore, who he's making the roster 100%. Garrett Wilson, obviously he'll be there. Corey Davis, wide receiver, right? And those are like your top three, right? After that, they got a guy, Denzel Mims. I don't know, you know, exactly what his place is going to be on that roster. I think that he is someone that could be a surprise cut only because he's just buried on that depth chart, and if they want to leave or find a roster spot for a different position. But I really do think that there's going to be some surprise cuts at the wide receiver position for the New York Jets. And Denzel Mims is a guy that I kind of focus on that may be one of those candidates.
Yeah, that's a good one. Denzel Mims is definitely an interesting name. I know that from what I remember around when he was drafted, a lot of Packers fans were kind of interested in him coming out. He hasn't really done much so far in New York. And you kind of wonder, you know, if Matt LaFleur would really consider or want to add someone who his brother hasn't found a use for. Now that's assuming that they don't find a use for him in year two in the Jets offense. But yeah, that's definitely an interesting name. He's a big wide receiver. We know they like their big bodies, the guys who can block and kind of be physical at the line of scrimmage, and so that's definitely a name I'll be keeping an eye on. One guy,
the readers or the listeners, excuse me, his stats aren't the best, right? In his rookie year, he had almost 23 receptions for 350 yards, no touchdowns. Last year, 2021, all year long, he only had 8 receptions for 133 yards. So we're talking about someone that maybe had a little bit more productive season than Amari Rodgers, right? So, right now, I don't think that Amari Rodgers is necessarily on the cut block for the Packers. So, maybe Denzel Mims isn't. However, I do think that Denzel Mims, given the right situation, could honestly be better than Juwan Winfrey or you know, Samori Toure if they want to go seven wide receivers deep this year. And if he's still on his rookie contract, he's a cheap get. And I think it'd be worth it to give it a chance if he's cut.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting name. Another guy I was looking at actually from the other New York team, Darius Slayton with the New York Giants.
100%.
Yeah, he's a guy who's produced in their system. He had seasons of over 700 receiving yards both each of the last two seasons. It sounds like he might be on the roster bubble just from looking at some headlines coming out of Giants camp, right? They drafted Wandale Robinson recently. They picked up Kadarius Toney the year before that. And I'm looking at Slayton's wide receiving stats, and he kind of it looks like he did line out kind of as a wide out, right? Not as a slot receiver. And so that he would kind of fit a little bit more in a team like Green Bay, where they have kind of a lot of guys who can do work in the slot. You got Alan Lazard, you got Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, assuming, you know, Romeo Dubs, Christian Watson. You know, the Packers are not afraid to put those big body guys in the slot a little bit. And so, you know, Darius Slayton, he could be a guy that they, if they need some juice at that position, they can pick up they can trade for a guy or sign a guy, depending on what happens with him, who has proven that he can put up some pretty decent production in past years.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you actually picked this one, because back in June, I actually wrote an article about Darius Slayton. Yeah. And the headline of the article was Giants top wide receiver for the last three seasons heading towards getting cut. So I think this is a very interesting name, mm-hmm. Darius Slayton, fifth-round draft pick in 2019. He's still on a cheap deal, right? So it's not something where Green Bay would have to pay a ton for. But he's produced. He's produced in the league. He's someone that I just think isn't fitting right in the New York Giants roster. And there's official reports. There's actual talk lately about him being on the cutting block, not being able to make the roster. And if he gets cut, a player like him with a quarterback like Rodgers is something that I think would be beneficial for both parties. Because, I mean, every one of these guys, you can't be comparing them to Alan Lazard or even our rookies, Romeo Dubs or Christian Watson. You got to be comparing them to, like, the guys I just mentioned, Samori Toure or Juwan Winfrey. And I think that Darius Slayton is probably significantly better than both of those two names. Now, training camp, Juwan Winfrey is an absolute monster. we all know that. Yeah. However, regular season, Juwan Winfrey, we just haven't seen that yet. So I know I like this name a lot. I really do.
Yeah, and kind of the reason I found him was I was looking at guys whose contract expires after this year. And so he's going to be a guy, you know, probably, you know, could be a one-year rental for the Packers. But if the Giants aren't looking to re-sign him, you know, you could maybe get him for cheap. Another guy I just thought I'd throw out there is a little bit of a higher caliber name, Deontay Johnson with the Steelers. There's already been some talk from analysts that he could be a free agent target next year during the offseason. But, you know, if the Steelers are not good, which, I mean, they've got Mitchell Trubisky and a rookie Kenny Pickett at quarterback, you know, there's a chance that they could struggle next year in a pretty loaded AFC North, I believe it is. You know, if they want to, you know, make some moves, get some value back for him rather than just letting him go to free agency, he's another guy in a contract year. You know, he could be a really interesting addition, run after catch guy a little bit more to fit with the big bodies that they have in Alan Lazard, Christian Watson. So a lot of those guys can do run after catch stuff too. But yeah, that would be another name I would keep an eye on if the Steelers aren't doing too well.
Yeah, honestly, that's a big name that I think any Packers fan would do backflips over if we got him. And he's a guy that if Green Bay were to get, it would be with the intentions of making him the future, right? They're going to pay him big money.
Yeah.
They're going to probably give up draft capital for him. Or, I mean, hey, the Steelers cut him, but they'll most likely give up some pretty significant draft capital for him. But he is a guy. He, like you said, his run after catch is next level. His run after catch is something that you just don't see in the NFL very often. Matt LaFleur would do wonders with this kid on the Packers roster.
Yeah. So those are kind of some names to keep an eye on. Obviously, they could be cut candidates, especially in the case of like Denzel Mims, Darius Slayton. But
I've got one more that I think is is pretty interesting. Laviska Shenault from the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? This guy, he with what has happened on the Jaguars this season is the epitome of just buried on the depth chart. This guy was a second round draft pick in 2020. And he had a good rookie season. He had 50 catches, 600 yards his rookie season. But we just haven't seen, I don't think they've seen enough for him to potentially be on the roster long term. And with Jacksonville going out, they signed Christian Kirk. They signed, I believe it was Zay Jones. Free agent signed was Marvin Jones Jr. Yeah. Jacksonville Jaguars threw a lot of money at that wide receiver position this offseason. And all of a sudden, second round pick, 2 years removed, is on the same chopping block on that team as Laquon Treadwell is, the former Minnesota Viking wide receiver. So if he gets cut, and I think that maybe it's not likely, but it's certainly possible. This is a guy that Green Bay would want to or should at least bring in for a workout, see how he fits on the roster. I think this kid has a lot of potential in this league, and he's definitely worth a second look if the Jaguars give up on him.
Yeah, and it is worth noting that a guy that they spent a lot of money on, Christian Kirk, he's a slot receiver, and in the past we've seen Laviska Shenault. It seems like he works best in the slot, so there could be some redundancy there. There's a guy they want to get the ball to more because obviously they paid a lot of money for. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, Chanel could very well be redundant, and they want to get rid of him. That's another good name.
Yep.
So moving on to the next question here. This is from Garrett Stritzel, which I believe he submitted questions last time as well. So thank you for interacting with us, Garrett. So he says, based on training camp performances, who played well enough to be considered for safety 3 and 4? Seems like safety is the weakest link for depth. I'll start out with that. I would agree that safety is one of the weakest links on the defense, just, you know, from in terms of depth and that sort of thing. From what I've heard, it doesn't sound like there have been any big standouts at kind of that backup safety spot. Sounds like Sean Davis is kind of the de facto backup. I don't know. McQuaid, have you heard anything different?
Yeah, no. So this is one of those, first of all, Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage are having a great camp so far, which is exactly what we wanted to see. But no, you're 100% right. While there may have be some players out there that are performing well, right? From this aspect where we are right now, honestly, the most information that we get is from beat writers who are currently there tweeting out things, right? Or then just official reports from the Green Bay Packers themselves. And really, neither one of those two outlets have had a noteworthy comment about any safety beyond those two starters. And it may just be the fact that, hey, you know, they're doing their job, they're in coverage. Because we're also not hearing, oh, you know, Sean Davis blew that coverage. Like, we're not hearing anything. So it's kind of, you know, suspicious to see who's going to step up in that week 1 game to be that third safety in the hybrid safety. Because you think about it, there are consistently 6-7 defensive backs on the field at one time, and you got 3 cornerbacks, 2 safety, that's 5. So you're counting for at least, you know, 1 or 2 guys that me or you or most of Packer Nation is not talking about right now that Green Bay is going to have to identify and find. And I think that it's interesting to see what we find out between now and about a month from now when the season starts.
Yeah, one guy I'll be kind of keeping an eye on is Dallin Lovett. They recently signed him. I think we talked about it last week on the podcast. He was with the Raiders for a long time. He was kind of a special teams ace for Rich Bisaccia. I watched a fair amount of his tape over the past week, and I like, you know, he's got some interesting traits at safety. I think he could potentially, you know, if beat out Sean Davis, or at least make a run at that third safety spot, especially given, you know, how much he can contribute on special teams. Obviously, with those backup positions, that's going to be a big factor. So I'll be watching him, but it's definitely going to be an interesting topic that we'll be looking at as the rest of the offseason or preseason plays out.
Yep, I'm very, very – this is going to be one of the best position battles of camp, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Another question here that could touch on that a little bit. Jonas Gable asks, excluding injuries holding them back, if the defense finishes outside of the top 8, What do you think will be the weakness holding them back, and what could the Packers do to address it? So, you know, safety is one possibility. Like we mentioned, that's definitely the depth there is a little bit concerning at this point when we don't really know who's going to step up to fill that gap. McQuaid, did you have any, what were some other spots, if any, that you think could be the weakest link on this defense?
Yeah, so I think that you know, injuries are an obvious one, right? So I'm not even going to really mention that. However, I'm going to include that, right? I'm not going to elaborate on it, but I'm going to mention it, right? If injuries happen at certain positions, we might be in trouble. And those two positions, I think, would be edge rusher or defensive back. You know, whether it is cornerback or safety, right? If we get injuries either one of those two positions, we might be a little bit of trouble. But then it's just so injuries off the table. It's just lack of depth at those two positions. The Chandon Sullivan for how, you know, subpar his talent level was just compared to the guys next to him. He wasn't a bad player, but just compared to the guys next to him, his name was called a lot last year on bad plays. We saw it more than once. I think the Minnesota Vikings game, was a very telling one, because that was the one that Justin Jefferson just went wild. And I think there was a few plays on that in that game where it was Chandon Sullivan who just out of matchup or designed by the Vikings, Chandon Sullivan was the one that had coverage on that play and it was not good. So that third safety spot, right, just injuries aside, if someone just doesn't step up, we're going to be in a little bit of a trouble. And then same thing with edge rusher. If Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith are gassed or they need a break or if they're gassed and they're still in the game because they don't have anyone else to put in, you know, lack of depth of that edge rusher position is going to be something that we need to look out for, and hopefully someone steps up at, because if those two guys go out for a play or a couple plays and then just for, you know, it's a third down, there's no pressure on the quarterback. Most likely 30 of the 32 NFL starting quarterbacks will find a first down or make a big play in a situation where they have time in the pocket. So those two positions, lack of depth, and then just lack of consistent play outside of the starters.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with both of those, especially, you know, edge rusher. We kind of talked about safety, but I think edge rusher is definitely a really important position in the Packers defense, just with how they like to play two high coverages. A lot of how the run fits work is in that system. The edge rushers, their job is to control multiple gaps and just spill runs to the outside for the secondary to come and clean up. If you don't have edge rushers that can do that, then you're kind of in trouble, right? That's a really big deal. You know, there's a reason that Brandon Staley made a point to go out and get Khalil Mack this past offseason, trade some significant draft capital to get him. Yep. And so, you know, I'm hoping that someone like Jonathan Garvin, maybe Tipa Nollier, maybe Kingsley Nagbar, someone can step up to fill that void, because the way we've seen Joe Barry play his defense is he likes to rotate in those edge rushers. And so I think that even though the depth at safety is definitely questionable, I think that the depth at edge rusher could impact the Packers more just because they're rotating those guys in a little bit more.
Yeah, the rotation and how they handle it this season is going to be vital for the defense's success, because they're so top heavy with talent in multiple positions. So getting the right rotation is going to be just as important as just the guys playing well.
Yeah, and it is worth mentioning, actually. I just actually thought about this. There was one of the reporters noted an interesting look that the Packers defense was showing in training camp, where they actually had four defensive linemen out on the field. So Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry were on the edge. Jaron Reed and T.J. Slaton were inside. That actually could be something that they go to, now that I think about it, where if they need to take those edge rushers off the field and still want to get some pass rush and some run-stopping ability, that could be a look that we see, which is honestly pretty exciting. That's a really creative way to use what I think is probably the deepest position on the defense, which is the defensive line. So that's something I'm definitely going to be watching. I mean, that's actually, I can't believe I just realized that now, that could be something that they're looking at. But anyway, that's kind of the main questions. Those are the main questions that we had for the Q&A episode. So we're going to be kind of done that section now. But we were going to just add a little more content for you guys. We were actually going to cover some of the main training camp storylines. So I guess I'll just get us started here. So what probably the biggest or one of the biggest storylines is Romeo Dubs.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 Whiskey declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So based on training camp reports, he's basically the next Randy Moss, going to win Offensive Player of the Year, go over 2,000 yards. So the Packers are set at wide receiver. From what I hear,
yeah. So this this signing, this guy, man, you're right. Like the hype train is real. Everyone's talking about him. I think that it is beneficial for him that Christian Watson is going to be out for a few weeks with that surgery that he got on his knee, and we can address that in a second. But I mean, he's getting opportunities, and he's taking full advantage of them. And he's not going up against these second, third, fourth string cornerbacks. He's making plays against Rasul Douglas. He's lining up against Jair Alexander, who I think Jair might have got the best of him a few times. But he's going up against the best of the best on the Packers team, and he's winning. He's winning enough for people to really take notice.
Yeah, there's been at least once where he's won against Eric Stokes in that first team defense. Like that's significant. Yeah. Like Eric Stokes was a good NFL cornerback last year, and he's moving into his second year, right? Another year in Joe Barry's defense, another year in the NFL. Like that's not nothing. That's pretty darn impressive for a fourth round rookie.
Yep. I'm very excited. Side note: Eric Stokes is about to have a crazy season as well, but. But yeah, I mean, he's going up against someone who's done it for a full year, and obviously things are different when pads come on, and we all know that. But man, early returns are awesome for Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting to hear all those reports. I'm hoping that Christian Watson, when he gets back on the field, he can stand out as well. But I mean, honestly, the more wide receiver standouts we have, the better, right? It's not a bad problem to have. But another storyline that kind of keeping an eye on, just with David Bakhtiari sitting out, just the rotation at left tackle. So I believe, if I remember right, of the 3 days that have been accessible to the media, Josh Nyman took left tackle snaps on the first day. And then Zach Tom has actually been taking left tackle snaps on the past 2 days, which is pretty interesting. Some people have interpreted that. And I should mention, Josh actually moved to right tackle when Zach Tom was at left. So some people, a lot of people have been watching that. A lot of people like Zach Tom, like his talent. Some people have interpreted that as possibly a good sign for Bakhtiari's recovery, right? They want to get Josh at right tackle, where if Bakhtiari's back, he's probably going to be starting the season, which, I think is a possibility. That's definitely something to keep an eye on. But also Zach Tom, if he takes off running and is able to secure that left tackle, just some good snaps at that left tackle spot, that could be pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I've seen that. Multiple reports of Zach Tom playing left tackle, Josh Nyman kind of being solidified at that right tackle spot, or just most playing time. But and I get it, it's training camp, but there's a lot of rookies. I think all three have gotten some serious playing time, and Zach Tom and I believe Sean Ryan have both spent significant time with the ones, which is pretty cool for those two guys. And it just kind of goes back to show, you know, I get it, it's early still, but Green Bay, they're able to find those guys late, mid to late in the draft that can make an impact on that offensive line. And we've said it before in this podcast, Adam Senevich is a walking insane coach at I don't know what term I was going to use, but he's ridiculously good at coaching the offensive line. And anytime you get him as the coach, and then the talent that they got in the draft of the offensive line is going to result in good things. While I do agree, right, that Dave Bakhtiari being out maybe for week one, Elgton Jenkins likely not coming back in till middle of the season with his ACL. Offensive line still is one of the lesser concerns for me just as a fan, because I know that we have Adam Senevich, and we still got good talent who played well last year returning. I think Adam Senevich is gonna figure out real quick this offensive line.
I think he's earned our trust over the past couple of seasons, which with what he's been able to do with Bakhtiari missing for the most part. Obviously the playoffs were, you know, did not go great. But for the most part, he and the offense have been able to find ways to work past offensive line injuries, backups, all that sort of thing. Speaking of competent coaches, Rich Bisaccia, he's been really standing out these first couple of days, just a lot of energy. I believe it was the most recent practice, but some of the reporters remarked on how Amari Rodgers basically fair caught a punt or a kickoff return, and Rich Bisaccia really, you know, kind of got into him about minimizing those fair catches, which, you know, something we saw a little bit last year with Amari Rodgers being a little hesitant to return some of those balls. So that's something you love to see. You love to see a guy with energy on that unit, really getting into guys, making sure they're not complacent. I really like to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so the mentality that Rich has brought to the team of special teams is already night and day difference from last year. I don't know if it's going to be like, you know, worst to first type of turnaround, but I think the potential is to be elite, to be top half of the league. Top 15 should be the base set requirement, I should say, for the special teams this year. And I think it's just going to be go back to that mentality and doing the small things right. Special teams is extremely important, right? It is, right? And I'm not going to ever pretend that I know that I could ever do it, right? But comparing it to defense or offense, special teams, it's not hard to be good at special teams. I think it's doing a lot of simple things the right way, right?
Yeah.
Wrapping up, tackling, right? Catching the ball when you're returning a kick or returning a punt, running 5 yards, just getting a 5 yard return, 10 yard return on a punt, we would kill for that last year as Packer. That's all we wanted. And those type of things, right, is much easier than playing offense or playing defense. So at least from our point of view, it seems that way. I think that's what Rich is bringing to Green Bay, is just doing a lot of the simple things right, the small things right, which will lead to a competent special team, which is the only thing we want as Packer fans right now.
Yeah, it's something, you know, that the Packers obviously probably cost them their playoff win in Lambeau last year, and so it's definitely something that I think everyone's glad to see Rich Bisaccia taking a really proactive approach to fixing.
Yep.
Those were kind of the main storylines that at least I can remember. What were some of them, you know, a couple, let's go over a couple, you know, just standout players, standout moments that you've seen. I haven't been at training camp. I don't know if you have, McQuaid, but what were some standout moments that you've either seen yourself or seen reported?
So, first of all, like I mentioned earlier, I said I was going to go back to it. Christian Watson got that knee surgery. We don't really know what the injury is. No, there's been no official reports of what it was, but something happened to his knee during OTAs. They went in and talked with his agent himself, probably his family too, said, hey, it's best to get in front of this now and clean it up, and then, you know, save him for the long run. So from the sounds of it, he's going to be out for a few weeks. He could even miss week one of the season. Right now, there's really no timeline. We don't know what the injury was, but from all, the most important thing is from all signs that this is not a long-term thing at all, right? It was a very routine procedure in his knee, And it's something that we're going to see where we'll see him back much sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was a big fan of Christian Watson coming out and was really happy when Green Bay drafted him. And yeah, I want to see him on the field as soon as possible, hopefully tearing it up like Romeo Doubs is out there. One guy I want to keep an eye on, Rico Gafford, the corner. He converted from wide receiver. I actually just learned this today, but he was actually with the Raiders, with Rich Bisaccia, I believe, on their special teams when he was a wide receiver. But so he could bring some special teams expertise. He's been really, really showing out. He's had a couple nice moments. I believe he's been practicing with the twos and threes right now. So obviously, you know, the nice moments come with that asterisk a little bit. But yeah, he's got a ton of speed. I think when the Madden ratings, the speed ratings came out, he was like one of the top five fastest players in the game. So he's got some really impressive speed. Obviously, he knows how to catch from his wide receiver days, so he could be an interesting guy at corner. You know, right? We've kind of talked about how there's some depth positions up for grabs there, and so that's another guy I'll be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, though, so that is something that is very interesting. Speed is one of the most important things into being a cornerback, right? Yeah. And he's got it, right? And like you mentioned, the catching. So whatever interceptions that do or don't come, or that do come his way, you would hope that, you know, he'd be more likely to haul him in. However, the coverage ability, right, is the biggest thing, obviously, for his position. And the speed is going to help with that. And on top of that, I've heard his name, I think, a few times. I think he deflected a pass in training camp, and the ball went up in the air, and then I think Darnell Savage came down with a pick. It was Savage or Amos, one of the two, but yeah, he made a play. And I think that he is going to be, his speed alone, I think Rico Gafford is almost a lock to make the roster because of his speed alone. Mm-hmm. That will be huge on special teams.
Yeah.
But his ability to use that speed and also the skills of playing cornerback. And remember, he's played cornerback before. It's not like he's brand new to the position. He's you know, played wide receiver most recently. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun seeing him fly down that field, especially on special teams.
Yeah, definitely. I believe I'm looking it up now, but I was reading a piece from The Athletic, written by Matt Schneidman earlier. And I believe he was one of the starters on the punt return as a punt gunner.
Okay.
Let me see here. While I look for that, were there any other players that you wanted to go over or moments or whatever?
No, I think that is worth noting that Aaron Rodgers, I mean, no surprise, Aaron Rodgers looks sharp as ever. But not only that, Jordan Love has looked very good. He's Aaron Nagler from Twitter. I'm sure most of Packer Nation knows who that is. Went on a little bit of a rant about him, how good he's looking. He's getting rid of the ball. He's being confident with his throws. So both quarterback, 1 and 2, they're both, you know, doing their thing. It was obviously expected with Aaron Rodgers, but Jordan Love is definitely out there slinging the ball around. It feels like he's at least progressing into what possibly could be a starter one day. And maybe Green Bay was right, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, yeah, they know more than we do, but hey, maybe he wasn't ready in 2020 when we drafted him, but hey, 2022 season comes, and watch out, because this kid, you know, could make an impact on the team when and if Rodgers hangs up the cleats.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I think I mentioned on our Twitter post, you know, or I can't remember if I mentioned this specifically, but Rodgers could well retire after this year, right? Yeah. If the Packers, you know, if that is the case, and they probably have at least some idea of what he plans to do in the building. Even if he just, you know, is kind of going year to year, which it sounds like, you know, from what he said previously is what he's going to be doing, it could pay to have some insurance. You know, if Jordan Love is able to develop into a starter level quarterback, that would be pretty amazing to be able to go from, you know, one source of quality QB play to another.
Yeah, and I mean, and think about it. What was he drafted in 2019 or 2020? Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe it was 2020.
I believe it was too. We can look, I'll look it up for a second. But either way, right, with a fifth year option, because he was in the first round, right? Green Bay has him through the at least 2024, 2025 season on roster, right? And that's going to be something that we're going to see, right? We're going to have him around for a while if we want him and evaluate him, you know, really get an idea of who this kid is and what he could be in the future because we have him for so long. Yeah. So 2020 draft, round one, pick 26. So with a fifth year option, we got him through 2025, you know, and it's only his second year in the league. So we got really three more seasons to really evaluate him. And you're right, Aaron Rodgers can very well hang it up after this year. That means that we have next offseason to, you know, really get an understanding of who he is as a kid, right? As a quarterback, and then really make the decision, right? Go with Jordan Love, make him the future, or if we don't know if we can win with him right now, trade him, get some draft capital for him, or just keep him on the roster and then go out and sign a Matt Ryan or a Matthew Stafford or one of those veteran quarterbacks, because every year there seems to be one or two veteran quarterbacks who may be leaving their current team or longtime team but still got enough left in the tank. And Green Bay could definitely fall into that category in the near future too, especially if they got, they showed to the league this year that they have a competitive roster still, which I think I think it's pretty obvious they do. And maybe outside of wide receiver and tight end, which right now might be our biggest two question marks, but everywhere else, this is a championship caliber roster. Have those two positions step up this season, wide receiver and tight end, and all of a sudden, you know, Green Bay looks like a pretty nice destination for any veteran quarterback who wants to try and go it on top.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one underrated part of that is the Packers are actually pretty well built to handle like a early career quarterback who's still figuring things out, right? They've got the foundations of a really impressive defense. They've obviously got guys like Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell signed through the next couple of years. They've got a couple really good running backs, though Aaron Jones, his future could be a little bit up in the air, but they've got A.J. Dillon, you know, really talented running back room right now. And so I think that it's possible that they could already be kind of simultaneously planning for this year and planning ahead for a possible Jordan Love takeover of the QB room.
Yep, very true.
Yeah, and I was able to find a little more information on what Rico Gafford was doing on special teams. Sounds like he was actually working as a returner. So that could actually be really interesting with that speed, his wide receiver background. The guy I was thinking of, Matt Schneidman, he notes that Eric Stokes and Shamar John Charles were the two gunners. A couple other guys who were on the starting special teams, Josiah DeGuara, Tyler Davis, A.J. Dillon, Quay Walker, Dallin Levitt, Isaiah McDuffie, Chris Barnes, and then Dominique Daphne. So that'll be something to watch, right? I actually did not notice that until I just researched that now that Rico Gafford was taking snaps at return. That'll be a really interesting path to watch. You know, if he can do something in the preseason, that could be pretty exciting to see that speed on the field.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because if it's not Amari Rodgers, which I think right now is I think going into the season, right? If the Packers, if I'm going to try and read their mind for a second, I think the Packers front office ideal person would be Amari Rodgers to return kicks, right? But obviously at the end of the day, it's going to be who steps up and who shows they can do it the best. Rico Gafford, again, I'm going to talk about it with his speed. That's another great position for him to play. Punt returner, kick returner, those guys with the speed and ability to and experience running with the ball, which he clearly had it with at wide receiver, make for a really, really good return man.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, returner was kind of a sore point with Amari Rodgers kind of not doing super well. Yep. So that'll be another position to watch as we kind of move forward into training camp. I can't think of really much else to address. McQuaid, was there anything else you wanted to talk about with training camp, kind of looking ahead to the preseason?
Nope, that was it. This is a really good talk, I think.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Wisconsin Sports Heroics podcast on the Packernet Podcast Network, and have a great day. Hey there, guys. Before you go, just want to let you know that we are partnering with Pristine Auction. We'll be giving away an autographed Quay Walker jersey soon, so stay tuned on details for how to win that. In the meantime, head on over to pristineauction.com/register for $10 off your first order. and you do need to be registered to be entered into this giveaway, so use registration code Rogers at signup. Again, that's pristineauction.com/register. Thank you.